Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Well, Merry Christmas. I tell you, I enjoy Christmas, don't you? And I just love the fact that we celebrate Jesus. I love that we can walk into malls and other places and things and hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you know? And that's one of my favorite songs, because that was my daughter, when she started piano, her first piano recital, she had to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And she got up and went up lovely and sat at the piano, and then she struck the first chord and completely blew it. I just wasn't even close. I mean, it was just so bad. And then it didn't get better. It just got worse. And she kept playing, though, and I have no idea what it was she was playing. And she practiced it at home, and everything was good, but she lost her way and stumbled through. And she kept playing, though, and it was some kind of amazing fusion tune of some sort. But then when she was, like, partway through, she started crying, too, so it got really messy. It was like... It was just like, and when she was done, she got up and she did the most beautiful curtsy ever. And then she walked off the platform and just walked back, and the people kind of patty caked, and that was nice, poor thing. And then she sat with us, and then she cried through the rest of the presentation. I'm like, shut up. Like this. I do love that song. You play a lot better now, honey, and those lessons are paying off. So it's wonderful stuff. Amen. All right. We're ready. We're jumping into the light of the world, jumping into Jesus' letter. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. All right. Just thought with the tables and chairs, it was kind of a different kind of feeling in the room. Apparently not. All right. Let's go. We're going to jump in the book of Luke. How many think we can cover the whole first chapter of Luke today? Skipping the first four verses and maybe a couple others. Didn't Cheryl do a good job singing last week? I just thought that was amazing, huh? I mean, I was totally disarmed when I was listening, because I heard her sing. I didn't know she was going to do that. When she started to sing, I mean, all of my obstacles were broken down. I was laid bare so that the word could just come and approach my heart without any barriers. I mean, it was such an amazing way to begin something. So I think I should do that too. Skinnamarinky-dinky-dink, skinnamarinky-do, I love you. Just kidding, never mind. Luke chapter 1, come on. Jumping into the Christmas story. You gotta understand, I know it's a familiar story, but never let it be common to you, because this is a season of incredible miracles, which introduces us and opens us up to a life of the miraculous. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, look at verse 5. It says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God." Man, that's amazing. Not righteous in my eyes, the pastor's eyes, Pastor Cheryl's eyes, or even your eyes, but righteous in God's eyes. I mean, God saw them as righteous. That's a pretty amazing recognition. So, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord bearing witness to these people's lives. That's pretty incredible. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's the word of the Lord, anointed, carried along by the Holy Ghost, inspired by Him, defining the lifestyle of these folks. These are some pretty awesome people, all right? Walking blameless before the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now, I just want to look at three things. There's Zechariah, there's Elizabeth, and then there's John. The name Zechariah, it's right up here. It means God has remembered. God has remembered. Elizabeth means God has promised, or God has made an oath. God has made a vow. And John means God has graciously given. So let me summarize the whole story. You ready? God has remembered His promise and graciously given. That's amazing. I mean, I love that God gives people names, and their names actually fit into the divine and eternal purpose that God has in their lives. I mean, God has remembered his promise, and he is graciously given. This is what this story is all about. It's about God honoring his promises. Verse 8 says, "Now while he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense." Now, 2 weeks out of every year, the priests were on a calendar, and they would have careers and other things they were doing, but 2 years of every year, they would come and they would serve in the temple. They would serve in the tabernacle. So this was his two-year period. Now, during that two-year period, there were things he had to do to serve God in the sanctuary and serve him in the temple, and priests had jobs to do in the presence of the Lord. Now, one of these jobs was, on any given day, morning and night, there were voluntary times of worship, but every morning and every night, people came voluntarily to worship God. And in that season, in that time, in the morning and the evening, a priest would go, he would take incense, he'd take coals and fire off the altar, and he would take incense, and he'd go all the way in to not the Holy of Holies, but in the holy place. And right there in the holy place, there's the curtain. And the curtain, only one time a year did a priest go beyond that curtain, and that's on the Day of Atonement. But this priest by lots, casting lots meant they did something by chance. It's like pull the longest straw. I don't know. They did something to cast lots to figure out who got to do this. If you did it, you only got to do it once in a lifetime, and many priests never ever got to do this. But by lot, Zechariah, this day, was given the responsibility of taking incense onto that altar. The altar of incense. The altar of incense was the last piece of furniture covered in gold before you went into the Holy of Holies. Every day he would bring the incense, and the incense represented the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the people. So what do we know about Zechariah and Elizabeth? They were praying too. They were praying. So here was a priest who had a prayer. Here was a priest who had a desire. He's bringing the desires of the whole nation and putting that incense there, and the incense would waft in behind the curtain. The incense would go up, and the people would see that the incense went up, and all the people outside, they would see that their prayers are rising up now before the Lord. This is what he got to do. What amazing privilege. What an amazing day. It's just like, wow, what I get to do. So by lot, this is his responsibility, and he gets to do this, specifically chosen. Verse 10, "And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing by the right side of the altar." Now, generally, angels showed up on the right side. It says an angel of the Lord was on the right side. Now, this was terrifying. It was an angel of the Lord. We know it was Gabriel, but he was terrified because this is, wow, on the right side, pow. I mean, wow, an angel of the Lord. How many know that would be pretty serious stuff? Anybody had an angel pop in recently? I mean, this is like not a I think or I experience or I feel the presence of angels. We're talking about you're doing a very holy service as it is, and now suddenly in that place, you're all alone, bearing the prayers of saints, and then bam, here comes an angel. On that day, who'd have thought? I mean, I thought I was here by chance, but this is, God has everything worked out. Such significant things tied to your destiny. God already has a whole lot of stuff worked out in advance for you. For you. "Appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing by the right side, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah.'" That's a good thing to hear right away, isn't it? Fear not. That's good, because this is pretty crazy. "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink." It's like a Nazarite vow. He's separated for a specific purpose, and he will be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He'll turn many of the children of Israel to their God, and he'll go before them in the spirit and the power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people for the Lord. Settle down. I know it's intense. It's awesome. Verse 18, "And Zechariah said to the angel," whatever, "how shall I know this? I'm an old man, my wife is advanced in years." And the angel of the Lord answered him, said, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring to you the good news. I am Gabriel. I have an intimate relationship with the Almighty. The Almighty gave me this word and he sent me to you. You know, I would imagine not only did Gabriel come, not only does he have the word of the Lord, but I would imagine that he's packing a whole lot of the presence of heaven. How many know when Moses came down the mountain after spending some time with God, he was glowing so much that the people couldn't even look at him? I would reckon Gabriel, who's been soaking in the glory for a long, long time, who just came from a mouth-to-mouth word from the Almighty for Zechariah, that there had to be a tangible, sensible, ooey-gooey flow of the manifest presence of God. Like, and even in that place, even when he's been asking and hoping and asking the Lord to do this breakthrough for him, I want a child, I've been praying, he hears the answer to his prayer in such amazing fashion, and he's almost like, oh, too late. I mean, you know, man, that would have been a good several years ago, but come on. I mean, it's amazing, and as Cheryl was sharing last week, you've got somebody who's serving God and diligently doing the stuff. I mean, he's a priest taking in the incense of the saints, but he doesn't even have an expectation that he's going to see the desires of his heart realized. And it's so sad when you get so beat down by things and hopes deferred that you literally are just going through the actions, but you have no expectation that anything is going to happen. You know, this is a season where you got to dream, you got to believe, and no matter what, you know what? He is the God who remembers you. He is the God who fulfills his promise. He is the God who graciously gives. He really is. So they're all there, they're waiting, and he says, you know, I'm an old man, I'm advanced in years. The angel said, I stand in the presence of God, and I speak to you, and I bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the time of these things take place. Now it says, why was that? Look what it says, because you did not believe my words. Now I don't have to wonder if he believed the words or not. The scripture tells me that he did not believe the words. So even though he heard and had such a powerful manifestation of the desire of his own heart from God, he didn't believe that kind of announcement. I mean, how many of you, if you had an angel show up like that and tell you that your prayers are answered, you'd be going, yeah, I doubt it. But that's really what this guy did. He said, whatever, too late. Would have been good about 20 years ago. But we're done. You know, a lot of times you feel done in your dreams. You feel done on the things and hopes you had, but never feel done on it. Because I tell you, God will always visit you. God will honor you. God will remember every word and every oath spoken to you, and he will graciously give. Amen, Pastor. That's the truth. I know that. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And that's pretty crazy stuff. Imagine being totally mute after that conversation. You come out now from the presence of God, and these people can all tell that something supernatural happened. He had an encounter, something happened to him in there, but now he walks out and it's like, he can't speak. He can't say a word. Mark chapter 4, 24. It says, consider carefully what you hear, because with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you and even more. Consider carefully the message you hear, because the way you treat that word, the way you honor and carry that word, that's how the word's going to be manifest in your life. See, if you've got a promise from God and you've got a word for God, but you don't honor that word, you don't respect that word, you're not a good steward of that word, it says you are going to experience that word based on how you react to it. But everybody say, God is merciful. Because here's a guy, obviously, I'm not saying that. The word says he did not believe the word. And yet God set him up. I'm going to put you in a position where you're going to see the word fulfilled. Now, losing your voice and being mute, you may think, wow, what a judgment for being unbelieving. It's not a judgment. It was actually the grace of God. It was actually God saying, I'm going to shut up your flapper. I'm going to stop your tongue, because you quite obviously aren't going to nurture this word. I think your wife might. And I think she's going to engage this whole thing. But you know what? God's going to do this whether you're with it or not. But so that it happens, I'm going to take away your ability to speak. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you know what? Him losing his voice right there, that was the grace of God. How many know that when Jonah got thrown off the boat and a whale picked him up, that was the grace of God? You know, a lot of times we think, wow, that was rough, that was hard. But sometimes, you know, you might be going through something that actually isn't a curse. It's not an obstacle. It's actually the blessing of God to get you through to the promise. But it's hard to see sometimes from our perspective. So he was mute, could not say a word. He was finished until the promise came into manifestation. Jeremiah 1:12. The Lord said to me, he said, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to perform it. There was a word uttered from the throne of God. Gabriel brought it. And there's not a word from God that is without power to accomplish what he sent. The word itself has the power to creatively bring forth the desire of heaven in your life. So thank God, even when you're not faithful, he's faithful. Even when you can't embrace the promise, he still says yes. Even when you don't even know how good he is and can't even get your head around it, he is still graciously predisposed towards you. He's committed to his promise in your life. That's good, Pastor. Thank you. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you get the word of God causes faith to rise. I love that it says hearing and hearing, because sometimes you got to hear it over and over again to let it penetrate and get that seed in your heart. But faith comes. Say faith comes. What happens to faith? It comes. How does it come, Pastor? It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. It comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Let me look at the next stage here. How does faith work, Pastor? How does faith work? Well, here's how faith works. Faith works by the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. For with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, this guy couldn't even believe in his heart, nor could he confess with his mouth. I mean, this guy had unbelief and doubt and fear at something that was a desire of his heart. He literally was unable to bring it into manifestation. So God had to go, wow, your believer's messed up. I'm going to have to confront your speaker. Because faith comes by hearing, but the manifestation comes by believing and speaking. And God had to do a job on his speaker because he said, I'm not going to allow you to cancel out what I want to do in your life. I know a lot of people I wish God would do that to. There's people come and they stand at the altar and I need a healing, need a touch from God. I believe God's going to touch you right there. Yeah. No, he is. He's going to touch you right now. Why do you come up here if you have no expectation? Light will crush the darkness. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. When you come into him, everything that is opposed to the full manifestation of his kingdom, it goes. Yeah. Well, I've had better people than you pray for me, Pastor. I've been praying for people. I had to say, I went to this ministry. I went to that ministry. I went to this. I'll give you a try. I'm like, my God. Just stop talking. Stop. Stop. Stop talking. It's with the mouth that confession is made. Let's go to three hindrances to hearing. You ready? Here's three hindrances. Number one, doubt. You know, God spoke a word over you. He's still speaking words over you. And the word right here that is spoken over you, it's full of promises. It's full of life. But here's one thing that can hinder your hearing. And you know, faith comes by hearing. But here's something that hinders your hearing. Look what it says about doubt. But let him ask in faith. Ask in faith with no doubting. Say no doubting. No doubting. Well, God's really uptight, ain't? No, it's a process. It's the way it works. God really wants to bless you. His almighty command over you is, I bless you. Yes, 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 yes. But here's the whole thing. When you come to and ask him, with your heart, you got to believe him. With your mouth, you got to line up with the desires of God for your life. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, it's not that you won't receive anything. You shouldn't even suppose that you'll receive anything. Don't even waste your time supposing, because doubt really backs up what God wants to do in your life and in your heart. But say this with me. Thank God he's merciful. Isn't he good? He's so committed to his plans and purposes that he'll work on you. He'll work things through. He's going to find a way to get glory into your life, because this whole plan is way bigger than you. He wants to bring glory to himself. And he's going to do that by overcoming every obstacle, even in your own believer. He's going to come and he's going to confront that so that you can walk in the fullness that God wants for you. Amen, Pastor. That's good. Look at another one. Here's another one. Number two, fear. Fear. That's why you had to say fear not. I don't know. Big angel full of the glory of God. That might be terrifying, but don't be afraid. Don't fear. Here's what Jesus said. They came to the nobleman and they said, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus turned around. He said, your daughter? He said, do not trouble the teacher. She's dead. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, why? Because that word that was spoken had the ability to change the conviction in that man's heart. He came with the conviction, if I can get to Jesus, I can get my daughter healed. I can get what he's given and I want to receive. My daughter's sick, I want her healed. But they spoke something. And Jesus immediately grabbed that word. And he said, throw that down. And he said, do not be afraid, only believe. You know, you got to make sure that fear will not enter in. Don't be afraid. Perfect love drives out all fear. And fear is something that will it'll cloud your hear. It'll crowd your ability to hear. Be careful how you hear. Make sure that doubt and fear are not anywhere near your listener or your hearer. Because your quality of life is directly related to your quality of hearing. So you got to hear. So there's doubt. Don't doubt. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't doubt. You know what you say to doubt? I doubt it. Fear. Don't be afraid. Number three was unbelief. And that's what Zechariah had. What I love about God is that he overcomes my unbelief. Isn't that good? You know, when you're struggling with unbelief, he comes and he overcomes my unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, 16, 19, and then 4, 2. For who having heard, they rebelled. Here's people who had the promise, but they didn't enter in. And we're told, don't you fall short of all that God has for you today. How did they fall short? Not hearing, having heard, they rebelled. Say, having heard. Because sometimes it's not that you didn't hear. And sometimes it's not even that you don't have faith. I have the faith of God. You do. But you got to use the faith of God. You've got to activate the faith of God. You got to release the faith of God. And here's one thing. It says they heard the word, so you can hear and still not get it realized in your life. There's lots of people hearing, but not manifesting. You've heard, but you rebelled. So we see that they could not enter in. What were they not entering into? The promise. They had a promise from God to appropriate. God gave them a land. Nobody could take it from them. But they didn't realize the promise. Why? Because of unbelief. They fell short of the promise of God. And he says, now we should see that and we should be careful that we don't fall short of the promise we have. Folks, you can miss the fullness that God has for you. Doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven or experience Jesus or you're not born again. But sometimes you can be falling way short of the privileges of a born-again child of God because of doubt, fear, and unbelief. The unholy trinity right there. Boom, bang. But the word which they heard did not profit them. So listen, they heard the word. So hearing the word isn't the issue. It's how you hear. Oh, I got to go somewhere where they preach a better word. You know what? It's not about the word. It's not about the seed. We can read scripture here today, and that's enough to get on your heart. It's not a better dog and pony show where, woohoo! You know, the quality of your life has nothing to do with how the message came to you. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with how you hear. How are you going to hear this Christmas? How are you going to hear this season? How are you going to hear? Zechariah, when he heard that word in a marvelous display from heaven, he couldn't believe that God was going to do this because he was so beat down with disappointment and broken dreams. You got to push that stuff aside because it's a season of miracles. Come on, tell your neighbor it's a season of miracles. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you're my second choice. Season of miracles. Season of miracles. Look at another verse with me in Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. Joshua. Now, Joshua, you remember Joshua? He's leading the people into the promised land, and then they're going in, and the first obstacle they had was Jericho. And Jericho is an amazing fortified city. I mean, they could ride 7 chariots around the top of the wall. So we're talking a really fortified wall. We're talking about an impregnable city, and they were just like, you know, these silly Israelites, who do they think they are? But God said, Joshua, I've given you the city. Now, this is his first command. This is his first battle where he's the guy totally in charge. And God speaks to him and says, here's the battle plan. I want you to go down. I want you to march around 6 days, march around it once, and then just go home. On the 7th day, march around it 7 times. You're going, and everybody shout, and I'll give you the city. How many think that's an awesome plan? I don't know. If it were my first command, I'd be going, is there another plan? That's kind of, I don't know. This is my first time leading these folks. We've never done it that way before. Could we get a different plan? I think I'm going to have a hard time getting them to engage this. But God says, no, that's the plan. Go tell the people, get ready, get her done. So Joshua gets the people, and he says, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. But then look, now Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day you are to shout. They said, Lord, that's funny. Why would he do that? You'd think it would be really good to be walking around going, we're going to get you guys 7 days and you're done. We're going to kill all you miserable people. Ah! I said, Lord, it would have been great to be shouting and tearing those folks a new one. It would have been good. But I said, why did he do that? He said, because this was such an extreme, crazy plan that these people, if they did open their mouths, they'd be walking going, can't believe we're doing this. You think this will work? I don't believe it. My God, I mean, look at us. They're mocking us from up here. They're yelling at us, screaming at us. You see the size of those walls. Oh, my goodness. But Joshua said, shut up. Don't say a word. Because you know what? I don't want anybody sowing seeds of craziness amongst us. I don't want anybody sowing seeds of doubt and fear and unbelief. Everybody just march around. This is crazy. And on the last day, wow! Take the city. What a neat story. This isn't a neat story. This is history. This really, really happened. Zechariah really saw an angel. Mary really gave birth to the Son of God. This is a season of miracles. Really. And it's a season for you. There's words over your life that, you know what, it's not just hearing it. You have to engage your faith. But this is something I've got to say to you. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he's merciful. Thank God he delights in showing mercy. Thank God that even when we got fear, doubt, and unbelief, there's times that he'll work in our circumstances to even stop us from hindering our own breakthrough. Isn't that amazing? Because that's what he did for Zechariah. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost anointing of shut up. Thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm healed. Anyways, let's move on just for fun. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the... Death and life are in the power of the... Your ability to run, your ability to memorize scripture, your what church you go to, that's where death and life is. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And folks, it's your tongue. And it's the things that you let penetrate your believer. How are you doing? Are you okay? All right, good, good. Okay, let's jump along. Let's go back to Luke. Go to verse 21. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay at the temple. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized he'd seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them, and he remained mute. And when his time of service ended, he went home. Now think about this. He's still got a few weeks to go. He's there. I don't know if it was the first day of his two-week time, but obviously his service wasn't finished. So he's literally got to spend the rest of his service there. Zechariah, would you like some eggs this morning? Do you want them scrambled or over easy? He's got this time where he's got to process that, and then he's got to travel home, and he's got to go see his wife Elizabeth, and he's going, like, he's got to get to his wife Elizabeth, and he's got to somehow tell her that I just had a visitation from an angel, and God said that what he promised us is going to be manifest. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he rehearsed it going back. How am I going to do this? I'll write it. Did he write her a letter while he was doing it saying, Elizabeth, you'll never believe this, but maybe you will. Maybe your faith is stronger than mine. I had a ridiculous encounter with an angel. And you know what? We're going to have a child. And I think when she got home, Elizabeth says, then we better get busy. I don't even know what that means. He had time to think about that. Verse 24. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. I got in brackets, they did the wild thing. I don't even know what that means. But after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. For 5 months, she had hidden herself, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. To take away my reproach among the people. Now that's some good stuff. What is she saying? I might have been righteous in his eyes, but in the eyes of my neighbors, I was cursed. In the eyes of my neighbors, they wouldn't even invite me to socials or teas because they felt that there was a curse on my life and they hung out with me too much, it would get on them. So she literally was a reproach to man, even though she believed God, even though the eternal purpose of God was tied even to her season of barrenness, she bore reproach for a season, and that reproach was all a part of the purpose of God. Don't you hate that? How do you feel when you're going through a season that's hard and you know God gave you a promise and yet it's difficult and you're believing this about yourself, but that's not happening? You got desires, but you're afraid to utter them anymore, and now people won't even hang out with you because you, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you can't even manifest the promise of God. What's wrong with that couple? I mean, my God, I thought God had big plans for them. Yeah. People go through stuff. You go through, I thought they told us they're going to do this and going to do that. Are you going to believe God? Are you going to hang on? Are you going to believe that His word is true and He never fails? What are you going to do? Even when there's reproach attached to it. Attached. That means it's torching reproach. It's attached. 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 What are you going to do? I put the first page on top of the third page, which would not be good. Because that would take us back there. Look at Mary now. Look at Mary. You got Luke chapter 1, 34, 37, 38. Now, here's an amazing thing, because we got two amazing angelic visitations in this passage. Number one, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know no man?" Now, you could say that sounds an awful lot like what Zechariah said. He said, "How is this going to happen?" But see, what we know about what Zechariah said, the word of the Lord tells us that the angel said he had unbelief. So what we see here is that with Mary, she didn't attack the word. She just questioned the process. She basically said, "I'm a virgin, so I'm not sure how you're going to work that out." See, Zechariah had a wife, had Elizabeth. They were praying for something. Mary wasn't praying for an unknown pregnancy. Mary wasn't praying that I'd be impregnated by God, and then I got to explain that the rest of my life. You're pregnant, and you haven't even been fully married yet. It's God. He put His seed in me. That'll go really well. Try that. It's a wonder she wasn't locked up in a loony bin. Maybe that was suggested. But sure enough, she began to manifest. You know what they thought? They thought Jesus was an illegitimate child. And these people are just completely out of it. But you know what Mary said in the face of all of that? You know what she said? The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God." And that word nothing, the word nothing in the Greek is no rhema. No living word that is spoken by God is without power to manifest His purpose. Do you need a word from God? Anybody here need a word from God? Does anybody need a word from God to manifest in your life? See, here's what Mary said. Mary said, "Amen," which is literally, "Let it be unto me according to the word." And you know what? When you hear a word, if you'll open your mouth and say, "Let it be unto me according to the word," that seed will explode and manifest life in your world. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what Christmas is all about. Light enters the darkness, and the darkness is gone. If there's any darkness in your life, the good news of Christmas is, here comes the light of the world. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Please. Okay. It's overwhelming. Go to verse 57. Verse 57. Finish up with John's birth. Now, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth. She bore a son. The neighbors and the relatives, they all came and they gathered together. They're rejoicing with her. But they said, "Now we got to name the child." And so she said, "Well, we're going to name him John." And I said, "You can't name him John. There's no Johns in your family. He's got to be Zechariah." But sure enough, they turned to Zechariah and said, "What do you think?" And he went, he couldn't talk, still couldn't talk. So he took a chalkboard or something, or he wrote it somewhere, and he wrote down, "His name shall be John." You know, when he lined himself up with what the word of the Lord was, when he wrote down, "His name shall be John," it says, boom, his mouth was open, the muteness was gone, he'd aligned himself with God's purpose, and he had that beautiful manifestation, that son, and then everybody saw it. It was a miracle, and everybody wondered, and it was a great time in the whole area. It says everybody who heard this, their hearts were saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was on him." Verse 67, it's Zechariah's prophecy. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit then, and he prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn horn of salvation for the house of his servant David. He spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from old that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. Verse 74, that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before him all our days. What an amazing prophetic word. I mean, this is the fulfillment. My son is going to be a forerunner. He's going to declare the will, word of God. He's going to prepare a way for the Messiah to come. God is visiting his people, and he's going to remove every obstacle to us being righteous and holy and blameless in his sight. That's what Christmas is all about. I'm righteous. I'm free. I'm blameless. I am light, and there's no darkness in me at all. And that's what Christmas is all about, because the light has come. Verse 76, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to people in the forgiveness of their sins. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. See, that's what Christmas says. It says God himself has visited you. He took all the darkness. He has shone his light into your life, and your sins are forgiven. I like what Cheryl said last week when she said, you know, if you walk into a room and it's dark and people can't see and they run into things and there's things there that should not be there. I mean, if there's no light and there's total darkness, why do we yell at the people in the dark and say, you got a problem? I mean, you got stuff in your life. I mean, look at you. You're tripping over stuff. There's things in the room that shouldn't be there. I mean, look what you're entertaining. They're blind. They're in darkness. They can't see. I mean, telling people they're messed up is not going to make them right. Turn on the light. Turn on the light. Christmas is all about the light's on. The obstacles are gone. Everything that hinders your relationship with the Father, it's moved. Everything that he desires for your life, everything he's promised you, is now. And you can have that miracle today, right here. Actually, even right now. The word I've spoken to you right now is powerful enough to deliver you into every realm that God wants you to be in. It's absolutely true. Oh. What do you hear? I just came for a service. I just kind of wandered in, got dragged in by other folks. Wasn't really expecting my life to change when I left. Everything you need for a breakthrough, it's right now. Everything you need for your body to be healed, whatever obstacle there is in your life, there's enough power in the word spoken right now that you can be totally, completely healed and delivered. Don't you wish that was true? It is. It really, really is. I can only do my part and deliver it. I can't determine how you hear that. I wish I could. But how do you receive that word? John chapter 8, verse 12. And again, Jesus spoke to them. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'll read it again. Again, Jesus spoke and said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Wow. And you know, it's not about doing. It's not about, you know, 1,200 steps. It's about following him. It's about accepting him. It's about believing what he said. And that's really all there is to it. All the darkness in the world cannot put out one candle. All the darkness in the world cannot put out one candle. Would somebody please turn on the darkness? It's too light in here. Darkness never overcomes light. Nothing. I mean, and you see, God is trying to say with this whole light darkness thing that light has come and light will overcome and crush darkness in every form. And your light has come. The light of the world has come. It's so good. Give me another slide. Jesus is the light of the world, not a light, not one way of thinking or believing, but Jesus is saying, I am the light. And he attached the light to life. So if there's any manifestation or expression of life, it's because Jesus, the light of the world, has come on the scene. All life is connected to him. He is light. Jesus is the light. Not a light, he is the light of the world. So if darkness is going to go, any form of darkness is going to go, it's going to go because of Jesus. The world was made for his light because it's the light of the world. Oh, the light on that corner of the building, the light on the corner of the building, that light is out. Well, you see, that's the light on that corner of the building. But Jesus is not just the light. He's the light of the world. He's the one. He is the only way that the world will experience light. Everyone in the world needs his light. Everyone needs Jesus, folks. Everybody does. And that light will move in their lives. The world, the whole world, this is good. The whole world will be filled with his light. His light has come and his light is here, but not everyone has embraced it. In fact, people can literally choose to still walk in darkness. But you know what? There is a day when the whole world will be filled with his light. It's good. All right, I'm coming to a rapid conclusion. Are you ready? John chapter 12, verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. While you have the light, believe in the light. What do you got to do with the light? Everywhere in the Word of God, it's believe. It's believe. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Don't have unbelief. Just believe. And you know what? I'm giving you a word today that if you believe, the light of God can penetrate your life in every way. It's the absolute truth. Is anybody's heart just pitter-patter? Anybody just going, for real? For real? Here's something real beautiful, though. Listen to this. Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Whoa. See, because it says you become sons of light. See, when you become a son of light, now Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And you know what? A city on a hill, it shouldn't be hidden. No, you're the light of the world. You know, the people that are stumbling in darkness, they don't need the darkness to be pointed out. They don't need to be, hey, you know, you got garbage there, things you're falling over. They can't see. You are the light of the world. In your world where you are, you're the one. You don't point out people's shortcomings or their failures or, you know, if you stop doing that, you could be with God. No. Here it is. Turn on the light. Turn on the goodness of God. Turn on the light of his glory. Because you know what? The transformation doesn't take place because they worked hard to get rid of junk. The transformation takes place because they embrace the light. And you are the light of the world. Unfortunately, the church has become the judger of the world, the condemner of the world, the pointing out of all the world. Then big lasting long finger that says, you don't qualify. You know, we have a Santa Claus religion. He's looking to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. That's not the way Jesus is. Jesus is coming to town, and he's the light of the world, and everybody who believes him can have the light of life. It's not about being naughty or nice. It's about believing him. But the church has got Santa Claus faith, and we keep on trying to find out who's naughty and who's nice. Thank God it's not about naughty and nice. It's about the mercy of God. He delights in showing mercy. And somebody, please, just has to say, because that's what it says in his prophecy. He says, the mercy of God has come. The light of God has come. I mean, look at that. It says, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What an amazing prophecy. What an amazing promise. Because of the mercy of God, the light has come to bring us out of the darkness. James chapter 1, 17. We sang it today. It's one of my favorite songs. Father of lights, you delight in your children. But what is he the father of? I think Cheryl shared that last week too. He's the father of lights. So if he's the father of you, what is he the father of? He's the father of lights. You are a torchbearer. You are manifesting the power, the majesty, and the glory of the kingdom of God. You are. Come to the light. Come to the light. Come to the light. Now Jesus said, anyone who believes, it says, anyone who believes, it says, just come follow me. What does that mean? Just come to the light. The light's here right now. Just come to the light. It's not do. It's not perform. It's not jump through 20 hoops. It's just straight up simply come to the light. Come on, why don't you stand with me? Bless you, Lord. I just want to ask you this morning, look, you're here today. I don't know everybody, partly because I can't see everybody. But you know, if you're here today, if you haven't known the light of God in your life, If you've not known him as your Savior, you know, the Savior's here. And he's saying, come to the light. The light is here. And anyone who believes can come. And you can experience the light of life. You can experience where the life of God will touch you. It'll penetrate your life. It'll remove every obstacle, fear, doubt, and unbelief. And it'll bring you into a living relationship with a wonderful God. Now listen, just going to bow our heads and just close our eyes. This is something you need to do. You know, sometimes it's not an event, it's a journey. I've had some people put their hands up 5-6 weeks in a row. We keep telling them, you did it right the first time. But you know, sometimes it's a journey that people are personally on and they're working out. But you know, if you're on that journey, you say, you know what, I want to come to the light today. I want to come to Jesus. I want to know him as my Lord and as my Savior. If that's you today, I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, just pray for me. As we depart today, would you pray for me? If that's you, I'm going to count to three. You don't know him. You want to know him. I want to come to the light today. Here it is. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Just raise up your hand so I can see it. Just raise it up really high so we can see it. Thank you. Just raise it up so I can see it. Thank you. Come on, would you pray for me or pray with me? Pray for me always, but pray with me right now. Come on, say, Lord Jesus, I receive the light of life. I embrace you as the light of the world. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. I accept that you accept me. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. My sins are forgiven. My body is healed. My life is restored. Now come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now someone might come and tap you on the shoulder and follow up with you because we want you to fully realize the journey that you're on. We want you to fully realize everything that you have because he's your Father and he's your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask everybody involved in the ministry teams to come up now, and we're going to release you. And remember, Bobby's scalping tickets in the parking lot. And we're going to have an amazing time tonight. Hope you got your tickets. It's going to be good. But everybody on the ministry team, just come on up front here. And they're coming up here, and they're going to pray for you. They're ready to bless you, ready to minister to you. So I'm going to pray for you. But if you need to come to the altar, you know, blind eyes get opened at this altar. Bodies get healed. Diseases go, words of revelation and knowledge come. Just want to make it available to you right now. So Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done to us. Father, for anyone here who's got a hope that's been deferred or a dream that's somehow, you know, fallen by the way, Lord, refresh it today. Let the light of your glory just speak to them right now that you're a faithful God to your promise. Just minister to them right now. I pray wherever they are, and let your goodness just saturate and fill their lives. Father, we pray your blessing over our time today, those who are serving today and helping set up today and minister today. Bless them, refresh them. We're grateful for them. And Father, I just bless everyone in the house today. Thank you for them. I just loose your blessing upon them. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I loose your glory upon them to go and be the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day.